In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Difficult words to hear. Easy words to dismiss. What did those people think when that young preacher spoke so plainly of their sins, of judgment, of hell? He not only condemns murder, but also anger and insults, even calling someone a fool. He not only condemns adultery, but lust in the eye, lust in the heart. He condemns divorce wherever sexual immorality has not already broken the marriage. He not only condemns swearing falsely and telling lies, he condemns those who would embellish the truth with an oath. Indeed, he repeatedly warns that those who do these things will end up in hell, suffering the hell of fire, as he calls it. He offers no sympathy and no loopholes. Just when you might think that Jesus' words are completely ideological, a fine preaching of fire and brimstone, of law that accuses and makes us feel bad about ourselves and nothing more, he offers a perfectly practical application. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift, go be reconciled with your brother, and then bring your gift. And on your way to court, come to terms quickly with your accuser, lest he hand you over to the judge and you end up in prison. Then again, just when we think that Jesus' words are completely practical, that we can actually accomplish the program he sets before us and amend our sinful lives, he shows us what that would really mean. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Better to lose one of your members than to be thrown into hell with all of them. Same with your hand, and presumably with your foot, with your tongue, with your head, with your heart. Speaking of the heart, it is hardness of the heart that leads to divorce, rending asunder what God has joined together. The violation of God's law is never a matter of merely breaking rules or trespassing arbitrary boundaries. Violation of God's law means that your heart is different than his heart. Your will is different than his will. If God is love, then you and I are not. Same if God is good. Speaking of good, why is it that we can rarely, if ever, simply be good? And why must we always embellish our works and draw attention to them, make sure that we're getting all the credit we think we deserve? It's not enough, for example, to simply tell the truth. We must also swear an oath, and not just any oath. We must swear by God, or by heaven, or by the throne of God, or by our own heads, as if we actually had authority over any of that. Why can our yes not simply be yes, and our good not just simply be what it is? Why must we embellish and overreach and self-glorify? If you go back and ponder these words of Jesus again, you'll be left with images. Images of you standing before the council, standing before a judge, guilty, deserving punishment and prison until every last debt has been paid. You'll be left with images of hell and fire, and the only mode of escape, cutting off and plucking out all of your members until you purge yourself from sin. You'll see that your sins do not just affect you. Your sins also cause others to sin. The wickedness and hardness of your own heart results in others sinning and being damned because of you. You'll see, too, how ironic it is that we filthy and condemned creatures then stand smugly swearing by God's name and God's throne, taking holy things upon our unholy lips. Why does Jesus speak words to us that are so difficult for us to hear? Well, the answer may surprise you. The answer is because he loves you. Who loves you more? The one who tells you what you want to hear, or the one who tells you the truth? Those who say the most painful and difficult things for us to hear are often those who love us the most. You can despise Jesus for what he says and look for someone to stroke your ego, or you can despise those who stroke your ego and thank Jesus for what he says. Yes, thank him, even for this most difficult teaching, for he wants us to recognize that we are truly wretched in our sins, to see that we ought to strive against them, and yet to recognize that for all our striving, we can never earn salvation. He wants us to see the hardness of our hearts and how our sins wound others, to recognize that even our good deeds are soiled with evil. Here ends the obvious lesson and what Jesus' sermon plainly teaches. But there's more to it than even this. With Jesus, there's always more. Do you remember that old saying about pointing fingers? Whenever you point a finger, there are three pointing back at you. Well, the same thing is true for Jesus, albeit in a very different kind of way. When he points the finger of the law at you and me, there are three pointing back at him. Not because he is guilty himself, but precisely because he is the answer. The one finger of the law accuses you, and three fingers point back to him. For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can do what you cannot. And the one true God desires nothing more than to save you from your sins. When the finger of the law points at you, three point back at Jesus. It's as if he's saying, what you do not find in yourself, find in me. Though you deserve the hell of fire, I will suffer it for you and give you the bliss of heaven. For your murder and violence, for your anger and insults, for every time your tongue has wounded and slain, for all of it, I was wounded and slain on the cross. I was insulted and hated so that you might be forgiven and be loved by God. I was called a fool and I was murdered to make atonement for your sins so that you might be called a child of God. I became liable to the council. I was handed over to the judge because I love you and took your place. By whip and by cross, forsaken by God, the hell of fire I suffered, so that the fire of God's love might burn eternally for you. For your lust, for your nakedness and shame, I was stripped naked and nailed to a cross for all to see, that I might take away your shame. I was stripped of my clothes, so that I might clothe you and cover your nakedness and sins. For the lust of your eyes, my eyes closed in death, so that when you close your eyes in death, you might be with me in paradise. For your eye that should have been plucked out, for your hand that should have been cut off, for all your sinful members, I gave my members to the rod and scourge, to the nail and thorns, that by my suffering, you will be cleansed, that by my bruises you will be healed. Though you have been quick to threaten divorce, indeed so hard-hearted as to carry it out, I will never divorce myself from you. I have joined myself with you, flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, and I have pledged myself eternally to you, that I might present you without spot or blemish, a member of my holy church, of my beloved bride. If you have been faithless, look to me, for I am faithful to you. For the hardness of your heart, my heart was pierced, that from my death life would flow forth from you, water and blood, baptismal font and chalice, so that you might know my forgiveness and never forget my love. For the one who is sworn falsely, and for the one who takes vain oaths, I, the Lord your God, have taken the one true oath. I have sworn by myself that I will remember your sins no more. This, dear friends, is why Jesus speaks such difficult words to us. The salvation that we could never earn, he has freely given. Listen to his words, though they are difficult to hear, for they come from the one who loves you more than he loves himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.